You can't confuse your anointing with your sending. Sometimes you are anointed, you are equipped, you are empowered, but you haven't yet been sent. And you have to learn to wait on God. Now, that's one of the hardest things to do.
Hello, and welcome to this Friday edition of Destined for Victory with Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. Well, at the tender age of 17, David was anointed by God to be king of Israel. But 13 years went by before he ascended to the throne. This was a season of preparation, of learning, of waiting. And David's response during this period is a powerful reminder to all of us, God things come to those who wait. On today's broadcast, Pastor Paul continues his profile of one of the greatest heroes in biblical history. If you can't stick around for the full broadcast, remember, all of Pastor Paul's recent messages can be heard on demand at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. Let's join him now for today's message, Lessons from the Pasture.
1 Samuel chapter 16, let's begin at verse 13 and read through the conclusion of the chapter. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. We continue to explore what God would teach us through the life of young David. So far, we have discovered a few key lessons. First of all, that there are God ideas for your life. Just as the Lord appointed David to be the successor to Saul, God has specific ideas about your life. And so we spent the first part of the series talking about how important it is for us to be people called according to God's purpose. When you live your life, the goal is to not just incorporate some good ideas, but to make sure you lock in on the God ideas for your life. Those things that are part of why he called you into his service and into his kingdom. We said they may or may not be related to your vocation. Sometimes there is a marriage between your calling and your vocation. When that happens, that's wonderful. But even if it is not, make sure that you are not just making a living through your vocation, but you are also making a life through your calling. Your vocation is what you're paid to do, but your calling is what you're made to do. So there's some God ideas for your life. Secondly, we learned the lesson, don't worry about being overlooked. We saw that David wasn't even invited to the sacrifice. And when Samuel said, "One of your sons is to be king," Jesse floated his first seven sons by Samuel, not even thinking about David. And yet David was the one God had chosen. Don't worry about it when people overlook you. Don't worry about it when you're not on their radar. Don't worry about it when you're not counted among the movers and shakers. Don't worry about it when people don't have you on their who's list. The fact of the matter is, if you're on God's list, that's all that matters. God knows who you are. He knows what he's called you to be. So don't worry about being overlooked. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. Psalm 75, 6 says, but God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another. So when God promotes you, it doesn't matter who men think you are or are not. What matters is the will of God for your life. So don't worry about being overlooked. And then in the last installment, we looked at a third point, which is to handle well your present responsibilities. Notice that David wasn't trying to get the attention of Samuel. David came in from tending his daddy's sheep. He was handling his present responsibility. God looks at where you are now, and where you are now is to be an indication of where you're going. Your current responsibilities are practice for your future responsibilities, which ought to be sad news for some of us, because some of us aren't handling our business right now, and you're dreaming big dreams, but you're not taking the proper steps in that direction. In the mind and in the plan of God, where you are now, your station in life, is to be a training ground for the things he has in store for you. God taught David how to take care of his people by teaching him lessons while he was taking care of sheep. God will use what you're doing right now to teach you integrity, to teach you character, to teach you faithfulness, to teach you that he has a plan for your life that has to be executed through your diligence, through your prayerfulness, and through your willingness to do all that has been assigned to your hands to do. And so we took time and talked about the fact that there are lessons to be learned right now in your life. Whether you are working, whether you're a student, there are lessons to be learned right now. Today is an important day. You will not go to bed a blunder and wake up a wonder. You will not go to bed a failure and wake up a success. The only way you become fruitful, the only way you get on the right path, is to start that journey today. You're believing God to one day be a boss, make sure you are the best worker that your current boss has. If you're believing God one day to own property, make sure you're paying your landlord on time. Talk to me, somebody. If you're believing God for big things, make sure you're taking care of little things the right way right now. Because God will use your present circumstances as training ground. One of my favorite movies is The Karate Kid. Because in The Karate Kid, God teaches us. I learned through movies. I learned through fairy tales. I see biblical truth. Because, you know, truth runs parallel. And where there's a truth, you'll find corresponding truths. And I see the world because I have a biblical worldview and a biblical knowledge. When you get into the book and get the book into you, you'll begin to see the movements of God in all kinds of analogies. And when I watch Karate Kid, I see God. Because Mr. Miyagi put that boy to work. Y'all remember that? Mr. Miyagi put that boy to work. And the boy thought he had turned him into a slave. He went to him to ask him to teach him karate. And instead of teaching him karate, he ended up taking care of his whole place, sanding the floor. Y'all remember that? Waxing the car, painting the fence. And at the point of frustration, young Daniel said to Mr. Miyagi, I quit. You just turned me into a slave. I asked you to teach me how to do karate, and you just turned me into free labor. And just before he walked away, Mr. Miyagi said, show me. Wax the car. Show me, paint the fence. And as it turned out, he had been teaching him karate moves while at the same time teaching him diligence and hard work and stick-to-itiveness. God is doing the same thing in your life right now. And you're belly aching to God. I don't understand why you're letting me go through what I'm going through. You ought to treat me better than this. And you don't know that God said, paint the fence. because you're going to need it later on. What I have you doing now, if you'll be faithful to me now, it'll be a blessing in your life later.
The rest of today's Destined for Victory message with Pastor Paul Shepherd is straight ahead. But first, a quick reminder. Our website, pastorpaul.net, is the place to go to find out more about the Destined for Victory ministry. You can also order selected resources or make a safe and secure donation to help Pastor Paul lead people to a growing, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, the web address is pastorpaul.net. And if you haven't already, please download the free Destined for Victory app today. Search Destined for Victory in your app store and listen to the program right from the palm of your hand. The app also allows you to make donations or shop our online store. Are you waiting on God to give you more? Make sure you're being faithful with what He's already given you. Here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's Destined for Victory message, Lessons from the Pasture.
And I'm here to tell you, you got to handle your business right now. You got to take care of things right now. You've got to be faithful in this current season, because he who can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much, Jesus said in Luke 16 and 10. And so you've got to handle your present responsibilities. Don't keep dreaming your dreams and thinking you're going to just get there overnight. You get there through the process of obedience to God. Now I want to move on then and make a fourth point as we continue to learn from the life of young David. Number four, wait your turn. Wait your turn. Notice with me what happened at the moment that David ran in from the field. Samuel takes a look at him, and the Spirit of the Lord says to Samuel, "This is the one." He says, "Take your horn of oil and anoint him, because this is the one." When that happens, verse 13 of 1 Samuel 16, he does it in the presence of his brothers. See, you got to be faithful, because the folk who think you're not going to amount to anything, one day God's going to show them exactly what he made you to be. Right in the presence of folk who are discounting you, God will bless you. And one of the reasons God does that is so that when people who didn't think you would ever amount to anything see the hand of the Lord on you, they're going to have to admit, now that had to be God. That had to be God. There's nowhere in the world they're supposed to be able to do that. And God will get all the glory. And so he was anointed right in the presence of his brothers. And look at this. From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Now, why am I bringing that up under the context of wait your turn? Because he has now been anointed with oil, a sign of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit indeed comes upon him in power. But he goes back to tending his daddy's sheep. Now, some of you all, if you get a hold of a little bit of power, the last thing you're going to do is go back to what you've been doing. Because a lot of folk think that empowerment is also ascending forth to do something new. And I'm here to tell you that you have to wait your turn. God not only knows what he wants to do in your life, but he knows when he wants to bring it to pass. And you can't confuse your anointing with your sending. Sometimes you are anointed, you are equipped, you are empowered, but you haven't yet been sent. And you have to learn to wait on God. Now, that's one of the hardest things to do. When you feel qualified, you feel equipped, you feel like, okay, I now know what the Lord wants to do through my life, whether it's my vocation or certain schooling that I'm to get or whatever it is, and you feel like you got your assignment. Typically, we want to just run right out there and begin to execute. But you got to learn the movements of God. God will give you the key to your future and say, it is not yet. And that's what happens with David. Now, why in the world would you get power and not have the authority to go? Because if you want to be in the center of God's will not only has a what factor, but God's will has a when factor. And sometimes we think the what is all that's important. But I'm here to tell you the when of the movements of God is just as important as the what. Let me make it plain to you. David now has been anointed, which means the Spirit of God is resting upon him, and he is empowered to be king, but there is still a king on the throne. And although God has rejected him, God doesn't want David to overthrow him. The Lord will put you in a position where you have power to do some things, but you don't have the authority to do them, because there's still more for you to learn. And so he will teach you some things through that waiting season that will be very important for your life. There's a timing element to the movements of God. Never forget what Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There is a time for everything. There is a season for every activity under heaven. And you can do the right thing at the wrong time and get the wrong results. Some of you know it. You've done it in certain times in your life. You made a good move at a bad time, and you got negative results. You got to walk with God and wait your turn. Wait until he moves you out. Now, let me establish this by an important case study in Scripture in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you read the Gospels, you see Jesus at an early age recognizing exactly who he is and what he has come to earth to do. It didn't catch him by surprise. Jesus knew at age 12, you see Jesus clearly saying, I must be about my Father's business. 12 years old, and he is astonishing full-grown people with his wisdom and his understanding. In Luke 2, you see him in the temple courts asking questions of the learned men, and they are amazed at this young boy because he had a sense of what he was called to do. But he was there at the wrong time. He was supposed to be in the caravan of people who had come for feasting and what have you, and when they were leaving, he wasn't in the caravan. He was somewhere astounding people with his knowledge. When Mary discovered her son was gone, they turned around to look for him. When they found him, she said, why have you done this to us? And he said, wouldn't you know that I would be in my Father's house? And what did Jesus do? The Bible says, in essence, she told him, well, I don't know about all that, but I know you better get back in that caravan. And the Bible says that he went home and was subject to his parents. Although he knew who he was, his time had not yet come. And what did Jesus do? He spent then the next 18 years from age 12, when we know he is aware of his calling and who he is in the plan of God, to age 30. The Bible says all he does is four things. He increases in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and man. Until age 30, Jesus did no mighty works. He preached no sermons. He healed no sick people. He cast out no devils. He proclaimed no good news to the nations. Why? Because his time had not yet come. Jesus spent 30 years preparing for a 3-year ministry. And some of us don't want to spend 3 years preparing for a 30-year career. That's too much time. Don't they have a crash course or something? Don't they have an accelerated program? The movements of God in your life don't require you to be in a hurry. He knows what he's up to in your life. God can afford to take his time with you. When God is creating a masterpiece, he does nothing suddenly. So when God is doing a deep work in your life, you got to give him time to work it out. And Jesus spent 30 years preparing for a 3-year ministry. And a lot of us have to learn the significance of that. And what's amazing is, even at age 30, when his season now is introduced, his season of ministry is introduced, what happens? The Lord sends him to John the Baptist. The Father sends him to John the Baptist, who is baptizing people in Jordan's river. And there, Jesus shows up And when John sees him, he says, "Behold, the Son of God that takes away the sins of the world." John recognized him when he saw him. And Jesus stepped in the water and said, "I want you to baptize me." John said, "No, I can't do that. I can't baptize you. I'm not even worthy to loosen your shoestrings. I'm not worthy to deal with you." And Jesus said, "Don't worry about it. Do it anyway." And John baptized Jesus, brought him up out of the water, and at that moment, God announced to the world who Jesus was. What did he do? The Bible says the Father spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Spirit of the Lord took the form of a dove and lit on the shoulder of Jesus. And clearly this is a time of announcing to the world that the Savior, the Son of God, has come. Now, what happens after that? You who know the gospel record, what happens after that? Did Jesus go grab sick folk? The Bible says that Jesus then was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's strange. Holy Spirit's come on him. God has announced from heaven, "This is my Son." And the Spirit of the Lord, instead of sending him to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, preach the good news, he drives him into the wilderness where the only other person is the devil. Why? Because God's not in a hurry. He has to prove him. There's more preparation to be done. Even after 30 years, there's still more to be done. Folks, I've come to tell you something. There is a wilderness experience coming into your life, if you're not already there, that is going to be absolutely necessary if you are to be significant for God. God loves teaching lessons in the wilderness because there are things you learn in the wilderness that you don't learn anywhere else.
Thanks so much for being here for today's message, Lessons from the Pasture. We're so glad you joined us. Before we say so long for the weekend, though, I want to remind you on behalf of Pastor Paul Shepherd and the entire ministry team to thank you for all you do to make the Destined for Victory ministry possible. As a listener-supported ministry, we're counting on your continued prayers and financial support because many people out there need the saving grace that only Jesus Christ can give. Your donations do make a difference. So please consider sending a special gift today to help share the truth of God's Word with a growing audience. In appreciation of your gift of any size, we're pleased to offer you by request Pastor Paul Shepherd's booklet, The Making of a Giant Killer, Volume 1. Jesus said, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Words to live by as you go through the trials and challenges that life brings your way. Yes, you will face your fair of giants, but you serve a God who stands ready to make you bigger or make them smaller. That's The Making of a Giant Killer, Volume 1, a booklet from Pastor Paul, and yours this month by request when you make a donation of any size. So please call 855-339-5500. Again, the number is 855-339-5500. Or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. You can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Again, the address is Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Well, sometimes we think we're waiting on God when the truth is he might be waiting on us. Here's Pastor Paul.
Some of you, God wants to take you somewhere you can't handle yet. If he gives you responsibility, if he gives you increase in your vocation, if he gives you something that would be palatable to the flesh, you aren't ready to handle it because it will turn into pride and destroy you.
That's next time in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Lessons from the Pasture. I hope you'll join us. Until next time, remember this timeless truth. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.